So how was the last two times? You guys still remember anything? Learn anything?
Mormonism and Jehovah.
Okay, first of all, what did we talk about the last two times? First time, Mormonism, and then? Jehovah's. Good, very good. Remember anything out of these two cults or heresies?
The gold tablets.
Gold tablets, where the Book of Mormons come from, right? Okay, good, at least something, yeah. And do we still remember how we define what is a cult? Oh. Remember there's a table at the very end last time? That we say if a theological system has what? A wrong concept about salvation, we can consider it a cult. Okay. And then why do they have a wrong concept? Because of what? Because of what? Where did this kind of concept come from? They have something else besides the Bible. Remember that? I hope at least you remember these things. And then we'll talk about why we are not a cult. Because we only trust the Bible. Then why do we trust the Bible? We'll find some Friday to talk about it. Okay? Now, so before we start today, so we start with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the time again so that we can be together and talk about something very important. Actually, we may face that every day. We talk about cults and heresies, and we talk about the biggest problem, biggest confusion today is about the Catholic Church. How are we supposed to see them? And please help all of us to be able to open our eyes to understand that this is the end time. There are heresies all through history, and there will be more these days. Help us to go back to the Bible, to rely on the Bible more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Now, okay, so first we're going to talk about Catholicism. That means this is a big word, talk about what the Catholic Church teach. This is what we're going to talk about today. How many of you have Catholic friends? Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, that's a lot. I do. I have Catholic friends too. And for some reason, when Christians talk about Catholic, they are very interested. And I think that's one main reason is we seem to think we branch out. We are rebellious group out from this original orthodoxy. We come out from them. But this is not exactly true. When we read about the church history, you'll find out there are things built on top of this original orthodoxy, which is the Bible, which is the original faith. There's something built on top of it, gradually add on top of it. Now, for example, now we all know that the Catholic Church worship the Virgin Mary, right? Anybody know about it? Right? We all know, which is, you may not pay attention. Now, where did this thing come from? And then if you look into it, Bible nowhere tell you to worship Virgin Mary, nowhere to tell us to worship anything besides God himself. Of course, Jesus is God, right? And then if you look in church history, you will find out the Catholic Church will begin to have festivals to honor Mary, just because she's good. Yeah, we all agree. She's good. She must be has a very pure, sinless lifestyle, you know, thoughts and everything. Maybe a lot of virtues she has that God picked her and gave her a special mission. So they honor Mary because she's good. And she has a special position in the church. Yes, God gave her a very unusual assignment. That's correct. And gradually, it changed and it grew and grew. And there are other people who say, oh, I saw a vision. And that's the Virgin Mary appeared to me. And she told me she's sinless. She told me she's being honored in heaven. So these things grew and grew and grew. And so they said, Mary is sinless. Is the virgin, and she's the queen of heaven, and she is the mother of everybody. She has so many titles today, can't believe it, so many. These things grew on top because of what they think, what people think they have special revelation, and they build into their tradition. So Catholic Church has lots of these stuff, this tradition, grew. And then we all know that in the 15th century, Martin Luther began to, actually he's not the first one, but he's usually named as the first person who led a Reformation movement. Actually, there are people before him, and they get their head chopped off because they're trying to reform the church. They try to say something's wrong. Then in the 15th century, Martin Luther and then begin to have a movement so that a lot of people begin to agree with him. So this movement, they call it the Reformation. And the Reformation has a lot of differences. And there are some major differences. They spell it out in the Council of Trent. And if you never heard of it, that's okay. At that time, the Catholic Church spelled out a couple of things. These are the things we believe in. And the Reformation movement say these are the things now we do not want them because they are not in the Bible. They are wrong. According to the Bible, these things are wrong. Now, and then we all know that the Catholic Church gradually, everybody thinks it's so old-fashioned, not attractive to modern-day people anymore. And there's a lot of people from the Catholic Church seems to be going to the Protestant Church. We're enjoying all these things. So we see inside the Catholic Church, there's some modernization movement. So in the 1960s, and they have another very important council. This council is called the Vatican II. Maybe some of you grown-ups may heard of it, if you pay attention. And this Vatican II, this meeting here, and they will say, oh, there are a couple of things we're going to change this, change that. Now, for example, one thing, all through history, they say you laymen are not allowed to read the Bible, not allowed to explain the Bible your way. You have to listen to the church. Okay? In Vatican II, they said laymen are allowed to read the Bible. And their meetings, they call it the Mass. And the Mass is not going to be in Latin only. And you can be in Chinese, in English, whatever language that people understand. And those Catholic, those priests, what we call fathers, beginning to teach Bible class. Now, so there are something good about it, something good about the changes. But the thing is, we don't think the faith, what they believe in, the doctrine, basically there is no change. It's just what they do from the outside, they modernize from the outside. And we are, of course, we're hoping, because people who, because of this modernization movement, the people in there begin to see the light, begin to see what salvation is. Now, I received a list of questions. One of them is, do you think those Catholics will be saved? And it strictly depends whether they see the light, they see what is salvation. If they think it's just going to church, go for all the ritual, then you become a Christian, then you are in trouble. But if you think, because of I read the Bible, or because of whatever I hear from the church, I know that I'm a sinner, and Jesus died on the cross for me, and I accept that salvation, then this person will be saved. So salvation is basically a very individual thing. If you are talking about in Mormon, in Jehovah's Witness, they are completely wrong. Everything seems to be wrong. So it's very, very difficult to have a person still in the church and still be able to know salvation, know the real Jesus. But in Catholic, it's a little bit easier. Then we talk about this. Why? Okay, then let's go to the next one, which is what authorities they have. Now, I just talk about Mormon and Jehovah's Witness. We think they're cults. And their doctrines are completely different. Why? Because they have so many things that on top of the Bible. And these things will make the concept of salvation change. It will be a different thing. Okay. Now, and so that's why, what kind of, thank you, I think everybody can hear me, thank you anyway. Now, and so I think for us, we have only one and only one authority, which is the Bible. Now let's go and see what kind of authorities the Catholic Church has. And I just mentioned the Catholic Church, because of time, they built in a lot of traditions. I just named the Virgin Mary as an example, in the beginning, they just own, they just think, oh, Mary is such a good lady. That's true. And they gradually change to become, they have to worship Virgin Mary. Virgin Mary is such a high position, and hard to believe they have her elevated this high. Why? So we look at what authorities they base on. The first thing, sorry, I use a big word, magisterium. This is what the word the Catholic Church use. By the way, the Catholic Church, because of age, has too many E's. There are a lot of very, very old-fashioned English terms that we don't use, but I tell you what I mean. But this is one of them, magisterium. That just means whatever the church teach is the authority. And it means the Pope in Rome, when he sits on his nice, beautiful seat, whatever, then he say, oh, we have believed this today. Then everybody has to listen. Now, for example, I said in the 1960s, they have a meeting to modernize this Catholic Church, right? Modernize this Catholic Church, one of them we cannot accept. There are many modernizations we think are good things. One of them is they think salvation is not only in the church. The Muslims are worshiping the same God. And Hindus, they are just still finding the truth. And then because there are so many Christians nowadays, they say, oh, the Christians, they are actually our brothers, but they have to come back to accept our sacraments. And so these are the changes. If you don't agree with it, tough luck. You just have to go listen to what the church said. So this is number one important thing. And then the second thing they said is the Bible. Now we all know our Bible, right? Do you know the Catholic Bible has no more books in it? Anybody knows about it? They have 7 more books in the Old Testament than us. We have 66 books. Actually, a lot of people ask why. And in fact, last Sunday when I was eating lunch, another brother from the Chinese side say, hey, when did we pull out those couple books? So now we never pull out those couple books. Those couple books are from what we call the Apocrypha. And this is another big term. I just named some of these books here. These books maybe if you look into a Catholic Bible, you'll see this name. Now, where does name come from? What does it mean? And I'll explain more detail when we talk about why Bible is our authority in one of the Fridays. And during the canonization, that means about 300, somewhere between 300 and 400 years after Christ, and as people get together and have a meeting, actually several meetings, and they decided, oh, these 66 books go into the Bible. We think these 66 books are from God. This is what that means, 300 after Christ, 300-400 years after Christ. And then, why do they have a meeting? Because there are other books floating around. Some people said they're good, and somebody said they're from God. And somebody say they're books that, somebody say no, everybody say no, we don't want those books. So that's why they have to make a list. These are the books we agree, we think they are from God, God's word. So there are some books that a lot of people still have lots of respect in those days, but they never make their way into the canon. I mean, they are not the 66 one. There are reasons behind it that we can't talk about. And those books that can make into it, and we still have lots of respect for them. They still talking about a lot of morality, very good. There are history in there, mostly dependent, not completely. So those kind of books are called Apocrypha. Now, and this is how it looks like all through history, after the canonization and the orthodoxy. Orthodox one will say, we only consider these 66 copies to be God's word. And then these couple others didn't make it in the Apocrypha, they float around for all these thousands of years until the Reformation time, which is 15th century. And because of the Reformation, and Martin Luther and this whole movement say, there are a couple of things wrong. That's no purgatory. You don't pay You don't pray to a dead person. You don't pray to an idol. You don't pray to Mary and all these things. So they go back to these apocryphals, these couple books, and they seem to be able to find the support, not directly. They seem to think, these words imply that we can pray for dead people, something like that. So because of answering the Reformation movement, so they drag all these Bibles, these books back in. So now if you go to a Catholic place to buy a Bible, you'll see all the books still in there. Okay. If you look at them, they look very similar. The format is, and the way they talk, the words they use are very similar to our Bible. So this is what their Bible is. Okay. It's our Bible plus a little bit extra. And then the third thing is traditions. And if you ask a very orthodox Catholic priest, he will tell you there are three things. It's like a tripod, like that tripod. you cannot take away one, and you cannot say I have just one the Bible. You can't. First thing is the tripod. First thing is the magisterium. That means how the Catholic Church teach you and how the Catholic Church interpret the Bible. That's number one. Secondly is the Bible, and the Bible. Their Bible is the Bible plus a little bit, a little bit more. They put more on it. And the third thing is tradition. That means the church tradition. Just like I told you, whatever, gradually things begin to build up, and everybody think, this is a good thing. Let's do this. Like Mary, gradually become the Queen of Heaven, become almost like a savior. Now, and then the last thing is private revelation. That means once in a while, somebody will say, I received a special revelation from God. Have anybody heard about Fatima? Saint Fatima, lady? No? Good. So if you pay attention, the Catholic has a saint called Fatima. And Fatima said, one day she said, Mary appeared to me and told me that she's virgin, she's now in heaven, and we have to pray to her. And Virgin Mary told me to pray with the rosary. Anybody knows the rosary? Ever heard of that term? No. Here I have a little book, and anybody interested in a little book talking about what rosary. A lot of Catholic priests and even Catholic, they wear necklaces, right? And then with a pendant, with a cross at the end. Now, that's not for decoration. That's the rosary. This is how they pray. A very important prayer in the church. So, then Fatima say, God told me that. Mary appeared to me. And then maybe a couple other people say, Mary also appeared to me. Or some angels appeared to me. Now, so these are called private revelation. That means they get some truth from some sources, whatever that is, but it's not from the Bible. Okay? And the Catholic Church, actually, they are very, very careful. Not everybody, Joel Smith or whatever, John say, I see something, they accept it. No, they don't. They actually evaluate, but they accept quite a bit of them. All these special revelations become their tradition. So you can see this church is the Bible and on top of the Apocrypha, and then at the top of a lot of special persons, special revelation. And then finally, the church say, I will decide what the truth is. Now, so this is, there are quite a bit of things besides the Bible. Okay, can we go to the next one? Now, but is this okay? Now, is it all right? You say the Baptists have their tradition, huh? And then the Presbyterian have their tradition. And we non-denominational have our tradition. Is it all right? Now, it's all right if just the things you do are what kind of songs you sing, or will the pastor wear certain clothes on top of the pulpit. That's okay. But this is exactly what the Bible says. Paul said in Galatians, actually he repeated it twice. He said, if anybody, even an angel, come here and tell you a gospel that is different from whatever I have told you, even I do that, I am condemned. This is very serious. So if say we have received a special revelation, God have resurrected Mary and she's now in heaven. Now, this we have to pray to Mary, and this is to be condemned. Bible said that very clear. Let's go to the next one. Now, fortunately, there are lots of things in the Catholic Church. They still agree with us, very orthodox. First thing is they believe there's a God, and he is the creator of the universe. This God is a triune God. That means Jesus, God the Father, Jesus, and also Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. Okay. And then they also agree that we are sinners. And Jesus is God who come in flesh and to redeem us. And then he resurrected his bodily resurrection. You say, hey, that's pretty good, huh? Now, that makes them a lot better, huh? A lot better than Mormon and Jehovah's Witness. True, right? Yes. And that's why I say there's still a chance for people to be saved in that. But what they teach is not right, because they add on top of the Bible lots of things. Now, and also Catholics emphasize morality and holy life. Sometimes we have to feel ashamed because they actually do a better job in the society about what morals are. Okay. And also they believe in Christ's second coming. Now, so there's a lot of differences. You say, so these are a lot of similarities. So what are the differences? Let's go on the next one. Number one thing, they have seven sacraments, huh? And again, seven sacraments is a big word, huh? Let's use the word rituals. They have seven holy rituals that they have to accept. Let's go through one of them at a time. First one is baptism. And they say, well, we do baptism too, right? Yeah, we do. If you accept Christ as Savior, when you're a certain age, then you're given a chance. Anybody want to get baptized? So we do the same thing. But what's the difference? What they think baptism is, if you go through this baptism, whether it's submerge yourself in water or just sprinkle water on your head, and if you do that, then your sin will be forgiven, and you're including your original sin. That means you have to get baptized. If you don't get baptized, you just say, I believe in Jesus. No, that's not enough. You have to get baptized. And also you have to get baptized in the Catholic Church. Otherwise, that doesn't count. Okay, the second one. And the second one, actually, a lot of Protestant churches do the same thing. A lot of Protestant churches, where if they baptize infants, and then they will wait till the infants into middle school or something and give them a class and tell them about what the doctrines are so that they won't just claim themselves to be a Christian but know nothing. And after a certain class, they say, oh, I still want to be a Christian. So they go for a confirmation. Now they do the same thing. There's nothing wrong with that. If you were baptized as an infant, you don't know what you're doing. Okay, let's go to the next one. Now, and then the third one is called Holy Eucharist. As I told you, Catholic Church has a lot of O-O-O-O English. And this is just what we call the communion, right? Or the Lord's Dinner. There's lots of names for it. That means we break the bread and we share the cup. And what is it for? What is the Holy Communion for? To do what? To do what? To in what? What is that for? In remembrance. Remember Christ. Die on the cross for us. That some church would do it once a month and this church do it once a week. I think that's a good thing. Now, but the Catholic Church also do that. You say, hey, I do that, they do that, what's the difference? And they do that because they said, if you do this, you will receive grace for your everyday life so that you can live a holy life. You have power to live a holy life. Now we do that, we say, this is to remember what Christ has done for us. We always have to remember we were sinners. We were bound for hell. Now that's a big change. Even sometimes I told myself, how come I don't appreciate this big differences, life and death, because I seem to be so used to it. And that's not right. We should remember. But the Catholic Church thing, where you participate, the bread, and another thing, they don't use a cup. Cups only for the priest. I don't know why. I can never find out the exact reason. But the every layman only break the bread. The priest break the bread and put it in the mouth. He said, if you do that, you will receive some power to live your holy, live your everyday life as being holy. Now, they said, just like if you get baptized, then you get a car, right? And you drive. But then you do not go anywhere just with the car. You have to have gasoline in there, right? So you have to go to the gas station, put gasoline there, and you don't do it once. You do it how many times? People do it twice a week. There are people who do it every other week. It depends, right? Now, same thing. After baptism, you have to go get your holy communion once a while to get those superpower, spiritual power to help you to live a holy life. Now, I mean, in that case, you may think that the Catholic want to do that every day. Yes, you can do that every day, but they recommend at least once a year, not much. Okay, the next one. Huh? Now, the next one is called penance. Again, they have all these old words. Penance just means confess your sin and repent. That's all. But then they have a special procedure. Now, have you ever seen those in those old movies? People go into a booth and talk to a priest next to the booth so the priest doesn't know who he is? Have you seen that? Right? In the old movies. Same thing still happen. It may not be an old-fashioned looking booth. And this one here, in this picture here, this is old-fashioned looking booth. Huh? This boy telling the priest what he did wrong. So he say, the boy say I did something wrong. Maybe I steal money from my mother's purse. Maybe I cheat on my exam, whatever. And then the priest will listen to it and then he say, you are forgiven. Because the priest represent Christ. So this is first thing you have contrite, means you feel sorry for what you did. So you go to the priest, confess the sin. And then the last thing is how to satisfy it. The priest may tell you to do something. I don't know, depends on the situation. To kind of make up for what you did wrong. For example, you steal money from your mom's purse and put the money back, or tell your mom, give the money back to your mom, something like that. So this is what the ritual is. Okay, the next one. Now, and this is something the Protestants do that once in a while. They do that more often than us. When there are people who are sick, especially those are about to go, they are so sick, they're terminal cases. So the priest will go there and pray for them, put oil on them. Okay, the next one. Now, they call it holy order, which is what we call the ordination. And sometimes we have, we ordain a pastor, right? In this church may not be exactly the same. We ordain an elder. Huh? Then we'll get together and we pray for him, put the hands on him. Bunch of elders put their hands on him. They do the same thing. Okay. There's one more thing. Wedding. They call it matrimony. I suppose you heard this word. This is where it comes from, the old-fashioned Catholic term. Okay. Okay, then let's go to the next one. Now, there are seven sacraments. I just mentioned, huh? We did actually exactly the same thing, maybe in less ritualistic, maybe not that elaborate. Okay, we get baptized, sometimes we go for confirmation, we definitely have Holy Communion. And then also, sometimes we sing. Huh? We may go to a pastor and tell him, I did this, what should I do? And the pastor will tell you the same thing, we pray. And then God will forgive your sin, and you may have to do whatever to make up to the other person. We do the same thing. We have ordination, we get ready. So what's the difference? Now, this is the difference. The Catholic Church thing, because Jesus died on the cross, he give us some grace. Grace to them, huh? Usually means some supernatural power. In explaining our talk, he give us some grace. And then go for the church. The church will have all these seven sacraments. That means these seven rituals. You have to participate in these seven rituals in order to receive grace from God. Now, for example, we're clear. Number one thing, we baptize. Because we say the baptism itself means that just telling people, I want to be a Christian. But Catholic Church saying baptism is how your sin get forgiven. Right? And we say, Holy Communion, huh? Holy Eucharist. Huh? It's just to remember Christ died for us. But they say you have to do it to get supernatural power from God. Now, so this is their will. Okay, the next one. So, but our will, we do not think the ritual itself has power, or the ritual itself doesn't mean anything. But whatever the ritual represent, or what's the meaning of the ritual, that facts, you, for example, you were saved, right? You were saved by Christ. That's why you get baptized, just to show people, this is it, I am a Christian. I announce it today. Now, so we think it's the jewel that represented by the ritual is meaningful, not the ritual itself, okay? Okay, now, so this is quite a bit of difference, if you think about it. Now, and then when we talk about cults, we say cults of heresy usually have a big problem. According to 2 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 1, is they deny Jesus and his work, deny his salvation. So their salvation concept is wrong. And we'll find the same thing in Catholic Church. We just mentioned about the seven sacraments. And they think you have to go through those sacraments, otherwise you are not saved. If you're not baptized in the Catholic Church, you're not saved, unless God makes some special wishes for you. Well, that's a different story. Now, and then they have more erroneous concept in the salvation. Next slide. They have a concept of purgatory. You know what purgatory is? Have anybody heard of that? Yeah. You know what that is?
It's halfway house for the dead.
Before
you get to heaven.
Right. And this is like half a hell. It's not exactly hell. They said when we die, now first of all, we have to, during our lifetime, we have to get baptized to get our sin and the original sin or plans, right? And then during our everyday, you will sin. As more or less something, whether you're aware of it. Then you go to the Catholic priest, and then confession. Catholic priest say, I forgive you. And then and you have to do whatever. And you have to do all these things like participate in Holy Communion so that you have the strength to live a holy life every day. Right? But then when you die, maybe you forgot something. Right? Maybe you just didn't, I didn't know that sin. Nobody told me that. Now I died. What happened? You go here, purgatory. To the place almost like hell. Is it hell? Don't know. Even the Catholic Church, inside the Catholic Church, they have different concepts how horrible this place is. Some say it's very horrible as hell. Some say not so bad, it's still okay. Now, whatever, it's a bad place. There's something go there, because of your suffering in here, you cleanse all your sin. And then it depends on how bad you are. Maybe you're real bad, and you go there for years and years. I don't know. Nobody knows. And then if you are not so good, you're basically okay in little things, and you go there, maybe a short time, maybe 2 months. You just think about going to jail. Or going to jail, that depends on what you do. Depends on how long. So you go there until all your sins are cleansed. Then you go to heaven with Jesus. So we know that they put quite a bit of things on top of salvation. Actually, there are more because there's no way to talk about every little details in 45 minutes. So let's go to the next one. So what do Catholic Church believe? If you ask a priest, if I want to go to heaven, what do I do? The first thing, you have to believe in Christ and receive his salvation. And he will say exact same thing, like we do. But then they don't stop there. That's the problem. Now, how do I receive salvation? The seven sacrament, right? The first thing is so that you have to go through the baptism, so you are saved. And after you go through the baptism, you have to have good work. Good work means a very virtuous moral life on top of participating in all the sacraments. This is what a good work means. And you have to be good. First, you believe in Christ. You go through the ritual to receive the salvation, then you have to be good. Now, if you're not good enough, then you go to purgatory, and then you go to heaven. Now, actually, there are a little bit more to that. Now, let's go to the next one. Now, then what's wrong with this? First of all, the concept of purgatory is not in the Bible, period. And you may ask me, where does it come from? Again, there's special revelation. Remember, I said they have several authorities. One is the church, the Bible, the Apocrypha, and the tradition, and special revelation. Now, if several people receive the same revelation and gradually everybody accept it, it become a doctrine. And the purgatory is exactly, what is it? Huh? And then they have other things, like when you break the bread, Jesus Christ come in, the bread become Jesus. And there are other things. They think that if they are some saints and they are so good, they are good enough for them to go straight to heaven and more. So whatever they left, and the priest got to keep all those merits. So if you come and confess and you do a good job, the priest will give you some merit. Now, so the salvation is not completely depends on Christ died on the cross of us. There are a little bit more here and there. At least you have to suffer and you have to get baptized, or other people suffering will help you out. Now, but what did the Bible say? Bible say Jesus is able to save completely. So you don't need anything else. Just his salvation is enough. Completely, those who come to God through him. So if you go to God through Jesus, that's it. You don't need anything else. Baptism is just a symbol. It's not how you get saved. And then you don't go to purgatory, because purgatory is your own merit. You talk to God, I suffered here 5 years, enough, right? God say, okay, then I'll count this merit, cancel your sin, and go to heaven. No, Bible didn't say that. It's completely Jesus' merit, not us. Okay, the next one. Now, and then the Catholic, actually not just the Catholic, the Mormons and the Jehovah's, same thing. They will say, and you Protestant will say, oh, well, we believe in Jesus, we go to heaven. So you, whatever kind of person on earth, doesn't matter. And the Jesus, the Catholics like to tease us this way. This is their very common saying. We like to say, Jesus' blood cover us, right? Yeah, so we are sinners saved by grace. The Catholic will say, the Protestants like a sinner covered by a tan. Covered by a poncho of Jesus' blood, but inside is all rotten. So every day they say, oh, we are saved, so I can do anything I feel like. Now, but it's not true. Bible make it so clear. They say, for grace, you have been saved through faith. So salvation is only completely depend on what Jesus have done for us. Nothing we can do, okay? And this is not from yourself. No matter how good you are, how smart you are, how much good work you do, or how much suffering you have been suffering in purgatory. Not that. Because it's completely a gift. It's not my work, so no one can boast. You cannot say, hey, God, I'm not bad. I've been a pretty good person. Or you cannot say, God, I have suffered full purgatory for 5 years enough. You can't say that. Because you say only because of Jesus. Now, does it mean because once we accept Christ as our Savior, then we all the way go to heaven? No, the Bible makes it very clear. God, we Christians are God's workmanship created in Christ, so that we can do good work which God prepared in advance for us to do. That means why God save us, want us to do good work. Now, so there are so many verses in the Bible makes people confused. Sometimes the Bible seems to say that, oh, because you believe in Jesus, you're saved and you're reborn. Sometimes the Bible seems to imply that those people who do good work are saved. Actually, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. We never say that after we believe in Jesus, you can do anything you want and then we still go to heaven. Now, if you believe in Jesus, you will do some good work. That means you will have changes in a good direction. Now, a lot of these people are in high school, right? Mostly in high school. I just talked to one of the girls here. And some of them are in junior high. And I was born in a Christian family. Okay. Maybe I'm like some of you kids. I go to Sunday school, start from the kindergarten class. And all the way to high school. Okay. And I accepted Christ as my Savior. I opened my eyes and begin to understand what people are talking about. I was like some of you sit here for years, don't know what that guy on there talking about. Now, when I was in junior high, God opened my eyes. And I started to ask myself, am I saved? Am I saved? And I wonder if some of you ever asked that question. I may be in church for many years. Am I saved? I did ask myself when I was junior high. So, but through several people, I begin to understand. God opened my eyes. If I accept Him as my Savior, that's it. That's the end. It's no need to ask. That's it. So I say a very simple prayer. Now, how much theology can a junior high student can have? Not much, right? Very simple prayer. Yes, Jesus, I want your Savior, your salvation. That's it. Then I didn't know that I have to have good work. I don't know the Bible that well. But I tell you, this is normal. If a person accepted Christ and Christ in his heart, and he will change, he or she will change. Now, I come from a very conservative family. I wasn't a gangster party girl. I was never. I was basically good kid like you. Are you guys good kids? Yes? No? Yeah. I'm basically a good kid. Not much terrible things. Okay. Now. But for some reason, a year after I accepted Christ as my Savior, you know what my mom said? I still remember. She said, "Me, this girl here, this daughter here, is hardworking and a lot more hardworking in the school." And then I remember, after I accepted Christ, the next year my grade seems to go up. Now, I never thought I have to be a good student. Or I never thought I have to be a good daughter. But just because I accepted Christ, I begin to change. Now, this is natural. If you have never any change, I think you have to ask, okay? Now, and so this is the major problem of the Catholic salvation concept. Okay, let's go to the next one. And besides, now we just talk about the Catholics and us, there are so many things in common. So we agree in a lot of things, okay? The major problem is their salvation has something, quite a bit of things added on top of Christ's redemption work. Okay. And then the second problem is the church system. We think there's the problem in the church system. Now, first of all, we know there's a Pope. We do not have a Pope, right? And then actually they have a very formal hierarchy from the Pope and then the bishops and archbishops. And then go to priests, what we call fathers, and all levels. A little priest, local priest, have to work all his way up to Pope. There's a system here. And we just talk about the Catholic Church has one thing. First thing in the authority is magisterium. Remember what that word means? Means what? Teaching of the Church, right? So whatever the Pope say, all these archbishops, the most important group of person decide. You have to listen. But then we say, where is this concept come from? Let's go to the next one. Now, Bible never say the church has to organize in such a way. There's some big guy on top and then big, not that big guy and a little guy like this. And the Catholic Church will always go back to this Bible words to support this system. And Jesus one time talked to Peter and said, I will tell you that you are Peter on this rock and I will build my church. It seems to be what Jesus is saying. Now, Peter, you here, I will build my church on top of you. Wow, isn't that something else? Right? So Catholic people will say, oh, now look, Jesus appointed Peter to be the first pope. And who's the second one? They have all different ways to say. Some say Timothy. Whatever. Nobody. There's never any formal. Yes, that's true. That's what they say. But nobody exactly agree who's the second one. But you know when the Pope system began? Somewhere like the 5th century. Because in the 5th century, there are some bishops in that time are very capable. They know how to manipulate the political situation, and they know how to deal with the government, right? And they know how to deal with everybody else. So gradually, the bishop of Rome rise up, seemingly a leader. This is sometimes unavoidable. In any time, you will see somebody rise up as a leader. So gradually, this the pop-up room, this church here, become on top of other people, and then the pope system start there. The whatever bishop in Rome become pope. And so we know that the Bible, first of all, the Bible didn't say that only one person has, only one church has the right on top of everybody else. No such thing. Now then you say, why Jesus say that? Didn't Jesus say he built his church on top of this guy called Peter, right? If you read into this, read this carefully, and you go to different commentaries, you ask different theologians, I tell you this is how they explain this. Okay? The first explanation is Peter is a little rock, and Jesus talking about a big rock. And the big rock is himself. Jesus said, "I'm the rock. Church, you on me, right? You're Peter. Church, you on me." And there are people, most people interpret it this way. And there are people disagree. They say, yes, because when Jesus was talking in Aramaic in those days, there's no big rock, small rock, there's no such thing. So Jesus is talking about that 12 disciples represented by Peter, because Peter seems to be a leader, because of his personality, even in those days. So Jesus is saying, now I'm going to build my church on these 12 disciples, and Peter being the leader. And if you read other places in New Testament, they also say that the church is built on the foundation of what? The apostles and also the prophets, right? In Galatians, Philippians, sorry. Okay, now if we know this, we will say, oh yes, that's true. This 12 disciple, even Peter himself, has a special position in the whole church history, right? Yeah, I agree, yes. Jesus used them in a very special way, right? But nobody can read these words and say there will be a system start from Peter, and then you say, I'll give my power to you, the second guy, and the second guy give the power to the third guy, and then keep on going. And then whatever he say will be as powerful as the Bible. Now, there's no such thing. So no matter how you interpret this Bible, you cannot say Peter and then Timothy, and then so-and-so, and come on, and then all these Catholic popes here, John Paul II, or whoever, there's a bunch of them. Now, I know this is one thing, one problem about the Catholic Church. And the second one, which is more obvious, we just talk about Mary. We just talk about, in the beginning, people just only have festivals to honor her because she's so special. Yes, she's special. And then there are things that we can learn from her. Yes, but we do not worship her. Now, and then this tradition grew and grew and grew and grew. And so, let's look at this next one. This is only a list of the titles of what Virgin Mary has. There are a little bit more. These are more the important one, or what they say, Catholics say about the Mary. They say, first, he has no original sin, and he is forever virgin. And he is bodily resurrected. That is assumption, I should change the word. Means he resurrected bodily, just like Jesus, and go to heaven. And she's now the queen of heaven. Now, and then she is the one, he is the co-redeemer. Oh, isn't that something else? Jesus is the redeemer. Mary is here, is the co-redeemer. That's why when we pray to him, we have to pray for Mary. Otherwise, Jesus say, who are you? I don't know you. You got to talk to my mom first. I don't have time to talk to you. Or if you go to talk to the president, CEO of a company, you're one of the workers. And then the CEO, who are you? Why can't you talk to your manager first? The manager will report to me. So we cannot directly go to Jesus. This is exactly what they say. And also, Mary is to be worshipped. So let's look at the next one. Actually, each one of these, you can find a Bible verse to answer all those things. But I'll just take two here. And we just talk about we cannot go to Jesus directly, because Mary is the co-redeemer, so we have to worship her, pray for her, and then so she will take our prayer and go to God. So what did the Bible say? He said, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Okay. Now, And so we don't have to say, I cannot go to God. I have to go through Mary, please. Mary and women are usually nicer, right? Mary, can you talk to your son? We don't have to. We can march right to Jesus with confidence, right? And the second thing is we don't worship anything. And one time Jesus say to Satan, he say worship, this is during his temptation, remember that? He would say to Satan, he say worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So we do not worship anything. We don't pray to anything. Prayer itself is a form of worship. That's why we only pray to God, and we don't pray to Billy Graham, no. We don't pray to not even Paul or Peter. We don't pray to them, okay? Now, and so let's go to the last one. Last time I have the table here. I'll tell you what Mormon, Jehovah Witness. They have so many authorities on top of the Bible. Actually, the Bible doesn't mean anything to them. And that's why the salvation concept changed. And then the Catholic is quite a bit better still, because of the extra authorities on top of the Bible, you will see the salvation concept also changed. They basically still say, Jesus saved us, but then you have to do this, do that, go to purgatory. Now, okay, next two times I'm going to talk about the New Age movement, some new things. And then the third time, I will talk about Islam and Buddhism very quickly. And then more modern eras after that, okay? So anybody have any question? Or like to discuss it later? Oh, yeah.
I have a question regarding the cross. Usually when we see the Catholic, the cross of Jesus on it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I've been taught that the Christian reason why we don't have a Jesus on the cross because we believe Jesus has been resurrected and longer on the cross. But you just told us that actually they also believe that Jesus is in resurrection. So, the reason why they have a Jesus on the cross?
Exactly. Honestly, I do not know exactly. They worship a lot of idols. So, they are not saying Jesus is still on the cross this moment. But they make that an idol out of it. Now, this cross with Jesus on it. Same thing. They worship the idols of Mary. They kneel down and pray in front of lots of idols. Mary, St. Peter, and all this. And they will tell you Mary is not here. Mary is up there, resurrected also. So this has nothing to do with resurrection. Now I'd like to explain why our cross do not have a Jesus body nail on it. Because we don't worship any image of God. We don't make image of God, okay? And then the cross for us is not something to worship. And you will see as some Catholic priests or nuns, they will kneel in front of a cross. And we don't do that. The cross is a symbol. It's not something to be worshipped. Now, make sure this is very clear. It's a symbol of what? We all know that. Salvation, right? It's a symbol telling you, this is what I believe, and that's all. Okay, any other question? Yeah.
I don't know if you brought this up. On the marriage, matrimony, I remember the Catholic Church kind of held the fact that unless you were married in the Catholic Church, any marriage outside the Catholic Church, they wouldn't consider legitimate. Is that still true? Or?
I don't know. It was. I don't know if, remember as they went to contours a modernization process. I don't know if they still keep that. I have a check. Because they have too many other errors. This is not so serious, so I did not pay attention. Sorry. Any other question? Yeah, okay. Salvation. Make sure they know salvation. Okay. Because they are, I think a forum of people going into Catholic Church, they were confused by so many things. Actually, I work with a lady. She was the secretary of our department. And she told me she was a Catholic. And then some of her relatives took her to a Protestant church, but she didn't continue to go. But when she found out I'm Christian, she told me she loved the Protestant church. Because when she go in there, people talk the Bible. They preach the Bible. When you go into a Catholic church, all you see is rituals. They don't even know what the Bible is doing. Now you see rituals. If you happen to talk to a nun or a priest, they will tell you about all the saints. They have so many saints, a couple hundred saints. They will tell you saying this, saying that, do all this good work. And they don't even talk about the Bible. So make sure they know what the salvation is. It's Jesus alone. Okay? And then if you can study the Bible with them, I think that will really help. It will open their eyes. It's not the ritual that saves. It's in Him. Okay, now, I have a couple of children's books. If you're interested, you can take a look afterward. Catholics like to pray, and they have lots of published prayers. And this is the seven sacraments, explained in pictures according to a kid's level. And this is the Holy Rosary. This is how you pray the word Mary. And there are a whole lot of saints, and I don't have time to bring all the books. A couple hundreds of them. And then this is about Mary. Okay. If you're interested, you're welcome to come and take a look. Okay, anybody who would like to take us into our closing prayer? Anybody? Anybody here? Any volunteer? Okay.
Dear Lord, we thank you once again for this lesson. Lord, I pray that we would know that our salvation is you and you and you alone. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Pray that each day, Lord, we would know you as our personal Savior, Lord, and we would walk in this, Lord, and we wouldn't need to do works for our salvation. We thank you, Lord, and I pray all these things in your name.
Amen.